So what is it definitely destroys the ignorance and the ignorance born samsara is Brahma Vidya, knowledge of Brahman. So Upanishad means Brahma Vidya, knowledge of reality. In the Upanishad is Brahma Vidya, how it starts, it also teaches the culture that goes with that, you know, with the vision. That is why here it is said how the Upanishad, you know, is really taught. That's the presented initially. I said we have Prathama Mundakam, Dvitiya Mundakam and Tritiya Mundakam. These we have three sections, three parts of the Upanishad, and each part has two sections. So of this we have this Prathama Mundake Prathama Khandaha. Understand now? Prathama means first. Oh, I'm going to teach you these numbers today. Yeah, I'll answer class. I shouldn't forget this. So, Prathama Mundake. How much I have to teach? Definitely I need 1 hour at least for Sanskrit emotions. I think. How can I teach? So, Prathama Mundake, Prathama Khandaha. Khandaha means a section, okay? The part, division. And then here, the Prathama Mundaka, the first part, in the first part, the first section is Prathama Mundake, Prathama Khandaha. And we have seen two verses, okay? We have to read the mantras, then we will go to the latest one, the present mantra. Brahma Deva Om, Brahma Devanam Prathama Sambhava. Brahma Devanam Prathama Sambhava. Vishwasya karta bhuvanasya gopta.
Vishwasya karta bhuvanasya gopta.
Sabrahma vidyam
sarva vidya pratishtham
atharvaya
Jeshtaputraya Praha
Brahma
Atharvane
Yam
Pravadeta
Vidyam
Tam
Atharva
Angire.
I will change the words from different Upanishads. So that I can follow.
Yam.
Brahma.
Atharvane.
Pravadeta.
Vidyam.
Okay, I tried to post order. Okay.
Atharvane
Yam
Pravadeta Brahma
Atharva
Tam
Purovacha
Angire Brahma Vidyam
Sabharadvajaya
Satyavahaya Praha
Bharadvajongirase
Paravaram.
So the first verse tells you the perennial eternity of the Veda. How Veda has been a timeless Shastram. And it is not a product of human intellect. It got revealed to Rishis. And who enjoyed that, you know, disposition of the mind. The second mantra tells this Upanishad knowledge definitely one does not gain just by one's own effort by studying it. Definitely it has been always heard and understood from the teacher. Guru Mukhat Shravanam. Guru Mukhat Shravanam means listening now from the mouth of the teacher. Guru Mukhat Shravanam. Listening from the mouth of the teacher. So mouth of the teacher means what? Listening to the words of the teacher. That means which means it always is being taught. Upanishad, subject matter of the Upanishad has never been studied by oneself and one's own is always been taught. And who has been teaching? Only one who would have been a student, and then thereby one who became a teacher. And the one who would have been a disciple alone could become a teacher, and he alone taught. Therefore, that is also revealed in the second mantra. So Brahma, Bhagavan himself, was the foremost teacher. And so who was the first, the mantra, who the rishi who got these mantras revealed to oneself, now he becomes the one who received it from Bhagavan himself. This becomes the shishya, and he becomes a teacher himself. So Atharva, Brahma gave this wisdom to Atharva. Atharva gave this to Angir. Angir gave this to Bhatyavaha Bharadwaja's son, and he gave it to Angir. Like that, it has been coming down from one person to the other person. And here, who is the teacher of this Upanishad? Because this Mundaka Upanishad, actually, which is in the form of dialogue, and here also the Brahma Vidya has to be given. The nature of the reality has to be unfolded. And then Raja Brahman has to be given by the teacher and to a student. And we need a committed student is here Shaunakaha. And the teacher here is Angiras, Rishi Angiras. That is presented third said in the next verse. Shaunakohavai Mahashalaha
Mahashalaha
Angirasam
Angirasam
Vidivadupasannah Papracha
Vidivadupasannah Papracha
Vidivadupasannah Papracha
Vidivadupasannah
Papracha Kasminnu Bhagavo Vijnate
Kasminnu Bhagavo Vijnate
Sarvamidam Vijnatam Bhavati
Sarvamidam Vijnatam Bhavati
Iti.
Iti.
We saw this, then this mantra, the third mantra presents the teacher and the student, teacher and the taught in this Upanishad. So Shaunakaha is a student, and then Rishi Angiras is the teacher. But how should a student be? That the student is humble and polite, and he is how he approaches the teacher. So Vidhivat Murayaha, okay? Vidhivat Upasannaha, he approached the teacher in a proper manner. Now, that's what Vidhivat Upasannaha Papracha. Then he always asked, the student asked for the knowledge. What does the teacher gives? Okay, if you cannot feed somebody who is not hungry, understand? So here also the student should have a thirst for knowledge. He should approach the teacher and he has to ask. And he really asked, Kasmin nu vijnate sarvam vijnatam bhavati. What is that? Now knowing which everything else becomes known as it were, that I known as well. I explained to you last class. Now what is that by knowing which everything else becomes known as well means? It does not mean if there is one thing, by knowing that one thing, everything becomes known means, and one will be free from doubts, one will know all the disciplines that is here. That is not true. Understand? You have to understand, remember that very clearly. So, kasminna vijnate sarvam vijnatamati. There is one thing, and by knowing that thing, one thing, everything else becomes known. What is that one thing? So, we know here, Brahman is the reality. Absolute reality is Brahman. So by knowing Brahman, everything else becomes known. Known as well, okay? That means, so he says. Then here we can tell, okay, if Brahman is something which has to be known, by knowing Brahman, then one doesn't need to know anything else. That is what it means. And you say by knowing Brahman everything becomes known as it were means one does not need to know anything else anymore. What does it mean? With the very desire for knowledge will not be there. If Brahman becomes understood, look at this. Brahman is one thing by knowing which all everything else is becomes known as it were means. By knowing Brahman, one does not need to know anything anymore. Why? Because the need to know something else will not be there. The very need will not be there. Therefore, the desire to know something else will not be there. So all the desires will have been resolved. Why? The need to know itself is not there. Why the need to know is not there? Because the very, always the need to know, the desire to know is possible. Only there's a need to know. I need to know how the computer operator functions because the need is there. Therefore, the desire to know also is there. Understand now? The need to know must be there for the desire to know to be there. The need itself is not there, for the desire cannot arise. The desire does not arise at all for knowing. The need to know is not there. Why? Because the need to do something, the need to accomplish something, the need to achieve something, the need to understand, know something, the very need to do, need to achieve, need to know. Now, desire also will be there only if there is a problem of smallness being centered on I is there. Only if there is inadequacy. Kurai irundhal dhan endha oru thevaiyum irukkuma. Only if there must be inadequacy, or there must be sense of being inadequate, okay? There must be a sense of being inadequate in the part of one for any need to do something, to know something, to be there. Understand? Therefore, the inadequacy. And inadequacy will be there only if there is this problem of smallness being centered on I is there. See, if one becomes free from this problem of smallness being centered on I, if smallness is resolved, the smallness of smallness centered on I is becomes resolved, there cannot be inadequacy. It's very important. This is the order. I want to understand this order. You have to see any amount of Vedanta you learn later on. These are the basic things. Very basic. This I am repeating it so many times. The smallness, smallness in terms of so many things. I'm small this way, I'm that way, that the smallness is centered on I. This is the problem. If this is resolved, then there is no inadequacy. If inadequacy is gone, then the need will resolve by itself. Then the desire cannot arise. If what is the situation, what is the condition that is required in the part of mind for the desire not to rise at all? Endha maadhiri oru mana nilaiyil aasaiye thondradhana. Understand? Now that when the desire pops up, okay, crops up, and you try to undo the desire. Is it clear now what I'm saying? Since desire rises, it is like not having the symptom underneath, the disease underneath. If you really have the roots underneath and cut it on the top, what will happen? Okay, when it rains, it will start sprouting. It's like having it always underneath. So it's like trying to suppress any disease is as good as keeping the disease underneath than to remove the symptoms of the disease. By taking some medicine, you remove the symptoms, you free yourself from symptoms for some time. But still again it will crop up. Like that, there is a root cause of the disease. So what is the proper actual problem is this problem of smallness being centered on I. There, the inadequacy is there, and then there are the needs. The desires, you don't need to ask the desire to come, okay? The desires are naturally flowing. Understand now? Desire after desire after desire after desire, the desire will be flowing like anything. So all this will be there. So then we said, suppose if the smallness is resolved, the sense of being inadequacy, the inadequacy is resolved, the sense of being inadequate is resolved, the needs will be resolved, then also this diseases will resolve themselves, then what is there? How is it possible? Because the very I becomes resolved. This, the problem of smallness now can be centered on I. Only the I is there. Understand now? The way I becomes resolved. the I is not, the I, the first person singular pronoun I is not available anymore, understand now, anymore, for this oneness to be centered on that I. Where has the I gone? Has it been pushed away somewhere? Has it given up, thrown away, or worn out? No. Where has the I gone? I becomes resolved in terms of knowledge. How? Because you searched for I as the knower, as the subject of knowledge. You arrived at, understood what is subject and what is object, and you understood, my God, the all, no, except the I, you know, anything and everything, which is object of knowledge, okay, which is available for, which can be indicated by any pronoun other than I, is object of knowledge. Therefore, nothing can be indicated by an object of knowledge. I, everything else which is indicated by any other pronoun has been negated as an object of knowledge. Therefore, you come to the subject of knowledge, which is the knower, and knower is, the knower is none other than awareness, pure awareness, the pure consciousness. Knower, as you think eater, when you see, immediately think of a person sitting and eating with a grass form. The runner, you immediately think of somebody, the physical form, doing the act of running. Understand? With the, you know, here. But when you say, here the knower, what is here? When you arrive at who the knower is, the knower is pure consciousness, the formless, indivisible, partless, whole. Understand now, this consciousness, which does not have any, does not, consciousness which is not free from doership, which is free from enjoyership, in which everything happens, that pure awareness you arrived at. So who the knower is? Consciousness is definitely not the knower, but there is no knower other than consciousness. We search for it. Who is the illuminator of this room? Who is the illuminator? Who makes this room bright and, you know, bright? And who illumines this room? There is no light. Light is not the illuminator, but there is no illuminator, no other illuminator other than the light. Similarly, there is no other knower other than awareness. For I, the knower, becomes resolved in awareness. What is there is the awareness. Satyam, understand? Everything else is mithya. You understood this. I becomes resolved in awareness. When you say I, if at all I is, I am. I the self am the consciousness and awareness, when you say, now the identity is shifted from the mere time-bound body, mind and complex to timeless consciousness. Is a shift in understanding when it takes place. Then what happens? The smallness, I the self and the awareness, if you say, the pure awareness, there's no more inadequacy, there's no more, understand now, there's no inadequacy, there's no, this smallness cannot be centered on I anymore. I becomes resolved in awareness, therefore inadequacy is resolved, therefore needs are not there anymore. In fullness, the needs are not there. Therefore, disease also do not resolve. The disease also do not rise. Disease remain resolved. That means, so having all the disease resolved is as good as having got all the desires fulfilled. This I told you last class itself. Understood? Having got all the desires resolved is as good as having got fulfilled all the desires. Therefore, we say that we can say that everything is as well known. The desire to know also cannot be there. And the desire to know something, only then you can make efforts to know. Not be there. Because for the one who revels in fullness, there cannot be desire. Therefore, there is as good as knowing everything else. And you know that anyway, no knowledge is outside of awareness. Therefore, whether you have the knowledge of physics, chemistry or not, but still you know the source of any knowledge is knowledge of physics, chemistry or anything, nothing, okay, is not outside of awareness. The source of physics knowledge, the source of chemistry knowledge, the source of, okay, knowledge of medicine, the source of knowledge of any discipline, the knowledge of anything has to rise in the form of a thought which is not outside of awareness. What is the source of knowledge? The pure knowledge, the pure awareness. Isn't it? The pure knowledge is the source of any knowledge which arises in the form of a thought of any discipline. Understand? A knowledge of arts, knowledge of fine arts, knowledge of science, knowledge of okay, anything, any knowledge has to rise in the form of a thought, and which has to rise in the thought only in awareness. Then what is the source of knowledge? So any knowledge can happen only if there is consciousness. Understand now? What is the source of knowledge? No knowledge is outside of any knowledge rises, a manifest, surfaces of a thought which is not outside of awareness. Therefore, by knowing the source of knowledge, understand source of knowledge, and then you understand that very desire to not know becomes resolved. If it's as good as knowing everything else. This Sarvajnaha, understand, one who knows Brahman is said to be Sarvajnaha. We are going to see later on. So there is Brahma Vidya. E kasmin vijnate sarvam vijnatam bhavati. What is one thing by knowing which everything else becomes known as it were? That is the question. Then the teacher begins his teaching. I think we have come to the new class today.
Tasmai
sahovacha
dve vidye
veditavye itihasma yad
brahma vidovadanti
paracha
eva
aparacha
paracha
eva
aparacha.
So here the teacher does not immediately start teaching about the Brahman. Okay, hey, you know that Brahman, this Brahman, you need to know Brahman. If you know Brahman, and everything else becomes known as it were. No, he does not jump immediately to that. Leap to that. Slowly he starts somewhere else. Why it is? What was the question asked? Of course, he is going to teach later on Brahman, but how he starts his teaching? There are two types of knowledge. Dve vidye. I'll teach you these numbers, okay? Ekam, say that.
Ekam.
Say it twice. Ekam.
Ekam.
Dve.
Dve.
Trini.
Chatwari.
Pancha.
Shat.
Sapta.
Ashta.
Nava.
Dasha.
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 Nava.
Ashta.
Not odd.
Ashta.
Sapta. Shat. Pancha.
Chatwari.
Trini.
Dve.
Ekam.
Ekam
dve trini.
Ekam dve trini.
Chatwari. Pancha shat sapta. Ashtanava dasha. If I teach like the Vedamas, I'll learn very well, you know. No, actually, we should chant it. Ekam dve trini chatwari pancha shat sapta shata. No? You have to do it. Ekam dve trini chatvare pancha shat sapta ashta nava dasha ekadasha dvadasha. You used to learn like that. Ekam
dve
trini
chatvare
pancha
shat.
Look at several demas here today in the class. That's why I'm talking like this, okay? Shat sapta ashta nava dasha. Okay, dasha. So dve. Okay, dve netre. Look at this. Dve netre.
Dve netre.
Dve shrotre.
Dve shrotre.
But I can say dvau hasto, okay? Dve netre.
Dve netre.
Dve shrotre.
Dve shrotre.
Okay, I have to say bubudan. No. And you have to say oshto, that is. All do a masculine comes anyway, dve, okay? But here, dve vidye, because vidya is a little word, okay? Vidye, that will teach later on. You have to dve, dve, dvo, okay? Tri, tisraha, treha, that's all two words, okay? So dve, two, dve vidye, okay? Vidya, eka vidya, dve vidye. Understand? Dve vidye, two types of knowledge, twofold knowledge. Veditavye, veditavyam, when you say, see, kartavyam to be done, veditavyam to be known, must be known. So, must be gained two types of knowledge. Always have to attain, gain two types of knowledge. Veditavye, there is no question of, no, why should they know unnecessarily the other one? Why should they not simply know this? No. Understand? One is preparatory. Other one is preparatory for the other one, the ultimate. Understand? But dve vidye veditavye. One is veditavyam, other one is okay. No. Dve vidye veditavye. Two types of knowledge both have to be gained. Both have to be known. Understand? Therefore, two types of knowledge. Dve vidye veditavye. So, tasmai saha uvacha, tasmai to him, to the Shaunaka, Rishi Angiras, ha uvacha, saha, that Angiras, tasmai to Shaunaka, uvacha said this. What did he say? Dve vidye veditavye, say that, dve vidye veditavye, iruvahyana arivu ariyapadavendam, understand? Dve vidye veditavye, two types of knowledge has to be known. Iti, itas endru. In Tamil, we see this endru sonnar. Iru vagyan arivu ariyappada vendum endru sonnar. Iti means endru. Understand? Iti, dve vidye, two types of knowledge have to be known. He says, hasma.
Hasma.
See this ha and the sma. If you really ask what this ha and sma, if they come independently, now without separately, without any other words in mantras, sometimes they're used to adjust the meter. They don't convey any meaning. Sometimes they're used to mean the definiteness, okay, the certainty, okay, of the what is said there. How important it is, no? It's very important to know two types of knowledge, okay? To gain two types of knowledge. To emphasize the definiteness, the words ha and sma are used sometimes. Definiteness. And he says, yad brahma vidaha vadanti.
Brahma vidaha vadanti.
So this two types of knowledge have to be known. Two types of knowledge has to be, okay, have to be gained. Who says this? Who says this? Vadanti. Not ordinary people. If ordinary people say, we will not consider their words. He said that you have to know. Why should I know? If somebody, the person who is looked up to, who is always considered superior, if he says, it becomes, no, as you say, Veda Vakyam. Somebody says, no, we say Veda Vakyam. I mean, but always, which we definitely, without denial, without any hesitation, which is definitely accepted, without a second question, second thought, is what? No, you've got Veda Vakyam. Somebody says, something who superior says, you accept it. So it's a Brahma Vidaha Vadanti. Ordinary people do not say that one has to have two types of knowledge, gain two types of knowledge. Brahma Vidaha Vadanti. And see the word Brahma Vid, you have to be. Brahman means reality, and Brahma Vid is the one who knows Brahman, the wise person, you can say. Or Veda also is called Brahman. One of the names of the Veda is Brahma. not Brahman there. If you say Brahman, this is reality. But Brahma is also what? Veda. Why? Because the subject matter of the Veda, ultimate subject matter of Veda, is Brahma, happens to be Brahman. Veda also is known by the word Brahman. The Veda happens to be the means of knowledge of Brahman. It talks all about Brahman, Ishvara initially, Sagunam Brahma, and later on it talks about the nature of the reality, the Nirgunam Brahma. Therefore, Veda happens to be the means of knowledge of Brahman. Okay? The absolute reality is also called Brahma. The Brahma Vidaha, you can say, those who have studied Veda thoroughly, those who studied Veda, those who know the content of the Veda, entire Veda, Karmakanda, Upasanakanda and Jnanakanda of the Veda, they are also called Brahma Vidaha. Understand? Brahma Vidaha means those who know Brahman, those who know Veda, those who know the reality. So we can be Brahma Vidaha otherwise. We don't have time to know the entire Veda. But we can understand the reality, then we can become Brahma Vidaha. Understand? Brahma, we can become Brahmavid, with Brahmavid. We have to become the knower of Brahman, the reality. Brahmavid. So those who know the entire way thoroughly are also called what? Brahmavidaha. So Vedatti arindarulum Brahmavidaha. Paramburali mattum arindarulum Brahmavidaha. So here the Shastram says, Brahmavidaha vadanti, when you say, hey, those who know Veda thoroughly, okay, those who know Karmakanda, Jnanakanda, Upasanakanda, entire Veda thoroughly, they say there are two types of knowledge which has to be gained, known. And what are they? Paracha aparachaiva. Paracha aparachaiva. Paravidyavum aparavidyavum. Now the word, the cha comes. Paracha aparacha yeva. Okay, paracha paravidya aparavidya. These are two types of knowledge. What is paravidya? We are going to see this actually. Shankara says paravidya is the knowledge of the param brahma. Paravastu is paravidya. Knowledge of the absolute reality is paravidya. Gaining which everything else becomes now as known as it were. That is paravidya. But what about aparavidya? So knowledge of anything other than Brahman is what aparavidya? We are going to see later on. So knowledge of anything which falls within the realm of the manifest universe is aparavidya. Then we can ask here, why do we need aparavidya? Why should we not study simply paravidya? All that we want is moksha, all that we want is fullness, all that we need is now to, we cannot undo disease, we cannot free ourselves from inadequacy or anything, all that we need to is we have to just to very resolve the very smallness we have settled on I. The smallness itself because of the problem of not knowing what this I is, the I being identified wrongly with this body mind complex. Therefore, understand, all that we need is we need to discover the fullness. Now, which is there in the form of the very substance or the substantive I. Look at this. Now, fullness is awareness. Awareness is fullness. They're not two different things. Like fire is heat. Understand? Heat is fire. There are two different things. What is fire? Fire is. We don't say fire is hot, okay? The heat itself is what? Fire. The heat in its proper absolute sense is what? Fire. What is fire? Fire is heat. There are two different things. Similarly, fullness and awareness, are they two different things? Limitlessness and awareness, are they two different things? No. How full it is, awareness is. You know, my God, the time itself exists in awareness. Therefore, time-wise it is limitless, therefore it is fullness. Understand? Where is space? What is this space? All accommodative space. It's this space is that which pervades everything. Come on, what big space? The space also is object of knowledge, of consciousness. Understand? Space does not exist outside of awareness. Understand? So space is awareness. Awareness, in fact, awareness pervades the entire space. The space exists in awareness. Look at this. Does space exist in awareness, or does awareness exist in space? Tell me. Does space exist in awareness, or does space exist in awareness, or awareness exists in space? Space exists in awareness. Definitely we don't say that, no? Awareness exists in space. Don't say that, no? Understand, that is full time-wise, spatial, object-wise. So, all the objects, known objects, exist not outside of knowledge, no knowledge is outside of awareness. Therefore, everything that is here exists in awareness. Understand? Because always we have to ask this question. Does the ocean exist in water, or does the water exist in ocean? Does the ocean exist in water, or does water exist in ocean? No, water exists in ocean, isn't it? Therefore, we see this. No, we can go wrong there. Water exists in ocean. No, ocean exists in water. Similarly, therefore, the whole exists in that. Okay, for fullness. Therefore, awareness and fullness are not two different things. Understand? Parambrum nerevum iruvera purulallana. Nereve parambrum, parambrule nereve. Understand now? There are two different things. So, where is this fullness? That is why discovering fullness, they all just resolve. Therefore, we need to know only Brahman. Okay? We don't need aparavidya. You can easily say that, no? No. Even though fullness and reality, awareness are one and the same. There are two different things. The Swarupam, okay? The reality, if you understand in terms of its Swarupam, you see reality is pure knowledge, and reality is awareness, and reality is consciousness, reality is fullness. We will be seeing lots of other things also later on. That is true, but this reality, that is, we don't go anywhere else, okay? We'll see the Purushottam also today. We have to just, now only it has to be discovered as the truth of the mind. Man cannot know anywhere else. But for the mind to become prepared, look at this. The preparedness only involves effort. You can never attain, I told you many times in the class, you never attain reality. You only attain the knowledge of the reality. Understand? And this mind discovers as its own Swarupam. See, if I say Swarupam, I understand the word Swarupam. Swarupam of the wave is H2O. If I say Swarupam of every thought is awareness, pure awareness. Swarupam of every, okay, the entire mind is what? Awareness. Swarupam of the knowledge and is awareness. Swarupam. Understand? We say Swarup of every wave, repeating this, Swarupam of every wave is H2O. What is Swarupam? Swarupam. Swakiya Rupam. What is the nature of, understand, Swarupam of every wave is what? The truth of every wave is what? H2O. What is Swarupam of every thought? Any bit of knowledge, okay? Any thought, any cognition, any emotion, understand now, is consciousness. The Swarupam of the knowledge and is also what? Consciousness, awareness, Swarupam. Understand? For here, the mind has to know its own Swarupam. If the mind has to know anything which is an object of knowledge, which is external to the mind. Look at this, I'm repeating it. Please listen to me carefully. If the mind has to know anything which is external to the mind, which is an object of knowledge, understand now, then the mind need not be that subtle. Even then, mind needs to be subtle. Subtler the fact the mind has to understand and grasp, the mind, subtler should be the mind. Understand? When you don't need to know, big, the mind may not be very subtle to know what is the color of the flower. Sleeping, you can answer, all of you know. Sleeping also you can answer. Color of the flower is white or orange. very gross, isn't it? Give a big jalebi and ask you, what is the taste of the jalebi? Not bitter. You will say that. In sleeping you can answer. The mind may be very subtle, sharp and alert, okay? But much subtler the fact. You understand? Subtler must be the mind. Similarly, what about the subtlest substance? The source of knowledge is what? In knowledge itself is subtler means, look at this, knowledge of anything is subtle, thought. Understand? And here the source of knowledge is the reality, and which is very sarupam of the mind. Subtlest substance you have to understand means the mind has to become subtle. Understand now? Very subtle. And subtleness in terms of steadiness. The grasser the mind, so restless and agitated it is. That's why the child's mind, you know, you can understand how the child is so naughty and so restless and then going around and running around. Lot of, understand, physically also a lot of energy. The mind is so gross and so agitated. Understand, you have to give lots of one room full of, you know, plaything, toys to keep the attention of the child and to keep the child, you know, one place. So, understand now. So, subtler the mind, quieter you are. Understand now? You can remain quiet and calm. That's why we can teach Vedanta lectures. That's what we learn. Run away now. Run out of this room. It's completely, it's managed mind, disciplined mind. Can sit, even if it is difficult to sometimes, even if it's boring to listen to also, still you can manage to sit. Sometimes it is a little boring, I know this. And we can't help. Now why I'm saying, please understand, the mind has to become subtle in terms of steadiness, in terms of purity, in terms of, you know, the managing emotions, in terms of, understand, neutralizing emotions. It's very important. Only that mind can appreciate really its own swarupam. So paravidya needs subtle mind. And for the mind to become subtle, to become disciplined, it needs to be exposed to different disciplines. Understand? That is why always education, for us, that's why education is always what? Very good for us. There is a definition. It says education is the manifestation of knowledge which is already there. In fact, understand now. Education itself is for disciplining the mind. So, olungal. That is why it prepares the mind. That's why aparavidya, don't ever consider aparavidya as something unwanted, unnecessary, inferior. Of course, the ultimate knowledge is brahmavidya, paravidya, for which the mind has to become subtle and focused, no, steady and pure, and that will be taken care of by your exposure to other disciplines. Because the mind has to think properly. Unless the mind is exposed to different any discipline, it makes you think. That is why you are given to the pursuit of any knowledge of any given discipline, it makes you think in a given, no? Makes you think. The capacity to think correctly and to understand things properly. Always we misunderstand things, you know that? We do understand, but how do we understand? We misunderstand. Understand? It's our problem. Misunderstanding, I understand very well. How? I understood very well. I misunderstood very well. Always. We always misunderstand things. That is why the capacity to understand correctly, understand, and to, it's called the, we can say, cognitive skill also. Understand? To understand correctly and to properly, and then logically, it should not go against your, it should not contradict your reasoning. If you mechanically accept out of fear, all we do with, you know, oh, if I say something, the one might punish me. I tell you, most of the people are so frightened of sadhus and swamis, and that's why they simply mechanically accept, because they might curse me. Oh my God, it's a foolish thing, isn't it? Nobody can come and touch you anywhere near, I tell you. Be very bold. Just denying anything which is not, anything which contradicts your reasoning. You have all the right to deny, okay? All the right, all the freedom to deny. Well, that is where you feel light. Others will be so burdened. You mechanically accept. Anything which contradicts your reasoning, you should not accept. You don't need to accept. So the reasoning capacity and to the analytical mind, okay, analyzing capacity and all the capacity to understand correctly. Listen, all these things we need to develop to make the mind subtle and to appreciate its own sorupam. Look at this. For the mind to appreciate its own sorupam, it needs a lot of preparation. To know anything else doesn't need to be so prepared. Isn't it? In this way, apara vidya also is very important. You see, because if you know mathematics, you have studied physics, chemistry, you have studied a little bit of language, all that helps now. Anything helps. It makes you think better, understand better. No? That's why it's very important. Therefore, apara vidya also is important. Okay, knowledge of anything other than the reality is aparavidya. And paravidya is knowledge of the reality. Aparavidya is preparatory, preparing your mind, understand, in terms of making the mind appreciate the soul swarupam. Thereby, the mind can have paravidya, knowledge of the reality. Clear? Both are. That is why Veditavya. See, Veditavya means what? Paravidya Veditavya. That means what? Knowledge of the absolute reality has to be gained. If I say Veditavya, one is enough. But Veditavya. Understand? Both have to be known, gained. Why? Because one is the absolute. Gaining one thing, then you don't need to know anything else. Aparavidya, once you gain, you don't need to gain anything else. You don't need to know anything else. That is, understand, it's a kasmin vijnate, sarvam vijnatam bhavati. That's paravidya. Once you know paravidya, gain paravidya, then you don't need to gain anything else. Gaining which everything else becomes as well gained. But to gain that knowledge, you need to gain other knowledge. Why? It will prepare the mind. It will make the mind subtle. It will make the mind, now. It helps the mind to think correctly, to appreciate, understand correctly, logically, using one's reasoning, and it's analyzed well. Therefore, it's important. Therefore, aparavidya also veditavya. What should say? Paravidya veditavya, aparavidya also veditavya. Paravidya has to be gained, aparavidya also has to be gained. Sorry, okay, Vinaji? Vinaji, come here. To say it briefly, you can say aparavidya is ultimate knowledge. Okay, gaining which everything else becomes as well gained. But to gain that knowledge, to prepare the mind for that knowledge, it's very important to be exposed to aparavidya. See, any at least want some discipline. You can't learn everything here. So knowledge of aparavidya, look at this. Knowledge of aparavidya will help you have artha, kama, dharma. Understand? But knowledge of paravidya will help you have moksha. So without having gain artha, kama, dharma, artha and kama in conjunction with dharma, there is no way of attaining paravidya, which is moksha. But artha person, if artha kama dharma themselves are not enough, definitely it's not enough. But without person, without having artha kama dharma, there's no way of accomplishing moksha. Understand? That is why everything is important, but what is preparatory and what is the ultimate? That has to be very clear. So aparavidya also is important. And to gain ultimately aparavidya. Sorry, paravidya. Is it clear now? So we'll go to the next mantra. So Brahma Vidaha, please remember I told you the two words, meaning Brahmavit is the knower of the absolute reality, is Brahmavit. The knower of the Veda is also called Brahmavit. Entire Veda. Understand? See, the knower of the Veda and knower of Brahman. So even the knower of Brahman need not be the knower of entire Veda. Understand? Knower of Brahman need not be the knower of the entire Veda. Okay, now first he describes the fifth mantra, because he introduces two vidye, two-fold knowledge as para and apara. The Rishi himself talks about what is apara vidya. What is apara vidya? Look at this. Tatra apara. See, tatra literally means there. There. Okay, ange. But here we have to, in this context, tatra apara. So the fifth mantra only talks about apara vidya. And so what are all the disciplines, okay, what are all the texts that come under the category of aparavidya? I told you very easily, knowledge of the reality is paravidya. Understand? Other than that, everything and anything is what? Aparavidya only. Well, here he says here, Rigvedaha. Rigvedo.
Rigvedo.
Yajurvedas.
Yajurvedas.
Samavedo. Tharvavedaha.
Samavedo. Tharvavedaha.
Siksha.
Siksha.
Kalpo.
Kalpo.
Vyakaranam.
Vyakaranam.
Niruktam.
Niruktam.
Chando.
Chando.
Jyotishamiti.
Jyotishamiti.
This tatra.
Tatra.
Apara.
Apara.
Tatra. Apara.
Tatra.
Tatra. Apara. There, of these twofold knowledge, para and apara, apara vidya consists of Rigveda. Look at the entire Veda, okay? Including Upanishads. Upanishad also is what? Apara vidya only. Oh, what is para vidya then? By studying the Upanishads. By understanding, being exposed to the unfoldment of the meaning of the words, okay, revealing the nature of reality, the knowledge which rises of the reality in the form of a thought, that alone is paravidya. Understand now? It's the akhanda akara vritti jnanam. Is paravidya. I'll explain it later on. Let me finish this first. There's something paravidya, I'll explain the very understanding of what paravidya is will make it very, you know, will clear a lot of doubts. So Rigvedaha.
Rigvedaha.
Yajurvedaha.
Yajurvedaha.
Samavedaha.
Samavedaha.
Atharvavedaha.
Atharvavedaha.
Now all the Vedas have been enumerated here. I mean, all the four Vedas are what now? Aparavidya. When you say all the Vedas are aparavidya, what about the Jnana Kandam? Jnana Kandaha of the Veda? Aparavidya. So what about the Upanishads which constitute the Jnana Kanda of the Veda? Aparavidya. Understand now, all the words of the Upanishads are what? Aparavidya. What is Paravidya? Wait. Siksha.
Siksha.
Kalpaha.
Kalpaha.
Vyakaranam.
Vyakaranam.
Niruktam.
Niruktam.
Chandaha.
Chandaha.
Jyotisham.
Jyotisham.
Iti.
Iti.
Iti. Endra. Now you know, enbadu endra. No, I'll see you say. Now, not only these four Vedas, also six Veda Angas. Okay, this answer, auxiliary sciences, which has to be understood for the proper understanding of Vedas. We have this. Okay, they also call what? Veda Angas. Or Veda Angangal. Understand? They also come under what now? Veda itself is Aparavidya. What are the Veda Anga? Aparavidya. So, Siksha.
Siksha.
You know, the Siksha, the phonetics. Okay? The science of phonetics. It's called Siksha.
Siksha.
We'll see in detail later on. Kalpaha.
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 Suppose Kalpaha, actually, the knowledge of the performance of rituals. Okay, prescribed in the Karmakanda. Kalpaha, see, look, it's a special discipline. Understand? Special discipline. Kalpaha, if people who go and study Kalpaha, just to study Kalpa for 7 years, okay? Many years, they study many, many years. Why? By they know only the Karmakanda. All our local priests know even a little of this Karmakanda. They don't know much, really. Kalpaha means they are the people who are qualified to perform rituals, yajamanas. Understand? Will come to perform rituals means they know what ritual has to be performed for, you know, solving a given problem. And what ritual should be performed for accomplishing a given end. And what mantra should be chanted. How many mantras should be chanted? How many times should they be chanted? How many people should chant how many mantras and how long? Okay, avruti. Okay. Then what are all the ingredients to be offered as havis, oblations? And how big the yagikunda should be? How long will be performed? And how clean they should remain? Oh my God, it's very important. Very, very, very important. I tell you, some rituals, even if a mushroom comes and bites you, you do it, not thank God, it's easy to perform here. In India, mushrooms are, he flies and comes sit at the back. And you feel like scratching, you scratch, you have to go and take a bath. You know that? Again, before you have to do the karma, you can't just do the perform the ritual like that. Really? That is why they have to use a special stick. Suppose something, you know, some you feel itching at the back. In India. And you ask, you perform a chanting mantra, which your attention is distracted. Suppose if you do this, that's all. Gone. Have to go, have shower, change clean clothes, come back and sit. Very difficult. So you have to use some special stick. And once you use the stick, that stick again has to put in a different place. Very carefully. Clean means, I tell you, people talk about, I tell you, they will remain very, very clean. Not simple, I mean, sort of, they have to maintain very strict disciplines. Okay, and then Kalpa means actually, those who studied Kalpa, they have very thorough knowledge of the know-how of rituals, how they should be performed. And if they perform, I tell you, it will work. Understand? It will work. Suppose there's a drought everywhere, and they're listening to Varna Japa, Varna Yaga. You know, they perform, they chant mantras, and then given your times, and you can see in a few hours it will start pouring. Vrishti yaga, understand? For Vrishti. They have all this. What I'm saying here, so Kalpa Shastram, Kalpa is actually a given Shastram, a discipline, just to know how to perform rituals correctly. Kalpa Shastram, understand? So Siksha, phonetics. Kalpaha, then Vyakaranam. No other thing. Grammar is studied separately as a discipline. Grammar is part of the language, isn't it? But of course, even though you have language here, great language, Vyakaran itself is a big shastra. Vyakarana shastra has a grammar separately. Vyakaranam, then Niruktam. No? Niruktam is all these Vedic words, they have different meanings. Etymological meanings are very different from the words of, you know, ordinary words used elsewhere. Therefore, to know the etymological meaning of words. Understand? So, you have to study Niruktam. Niruktam also. Niruktam, then Chandaha. Chandaha, Chandas. Chandas means meter. And the knowledge of Chandas, meters, different meters used. Now, in literature is also what now? Chandas. So, you can say science of meters. The knowledge of various meters used in poetry in Veda, now Chandas. Then Jyotisham.
Jyotisham.
Jyotish. Jyotish means light. Know that anyway. Okay, luminary. Luminous body is Jyotish. So Jyotisham. Jyotisham is knowledge of astronomy. And which a part of which is astrology. The smallest portion of which is astrology. Understand? Jyotisham is science. The science of astronomy as a whole is Jyotisham. A smallest part of which is, a section of which is astrology. Understand now? Not our Jyotisham. Jyotisham means one who has, I tell you, one who is very, very highly mathematically inclined to study Jyotisham thoroughly. Involves a lot of, logical thing and mathematical knowledge. So we say here Jyotisham. It's all sixfold auxiliary sciences of the Vedangas. Because those days people knew only these things, okay? We don't ask why. Now we have to include what? Physics, chemistry, botany, okay? Botany, geology, and all other disciplines now, the engineering subjects. And all the medicines, etc., Ayurveda, I can say, include everything now. All other disciplines taught in different universities. Understand now? Everything comes under what now? Aparavidya. So they don't mention all those things. Now we have to include every university gives you what all the courses they offer. So we have to include all the courses here, offered different universities under Aparavidya. Then he says, Atha Para. Oh, thereafter he says, Para. Paravidya is that Yaya. Paravidya is that by which Yaya Yenda Yadanalo Yaya by which Tad Aksharam Adhigamyate. Paravidya is that by which the absolute imperishable reality is understood. Aksharam adhigamyate. Gamyate means reached. Absolute knowledge is that, paravidya is that by which adhigamyate. Adhigamyate is understood. The absolute reality becomes understood. What is absolute reality? Aksharam, the imperishable, indestructible reality becomes understood. That alone is paravidya. So before explaining this aparavidya, okay, this is all just what is paravidya? Just now we are studying Upanishad. We are studying Upanishad, and to understand ultimately Brahman, to gain paravidya. And you say Upanishad is part of Veda. Veda is aparavidya. So what do we mean by that then? Refrain, the book as such is what? Not the book actually, the words of the Vedas. All that we are reading here, all of them only aparavidya. What is paravidya then? You know, paravidya is just the thought. Look at this. The thought, knowledge which rises in your buddhi, in the form of a thought. You have to understand one thing very clearly. Let me tell you here one thing very, very clearly. Knowledge of anything rises in the form of a thought. எந்த ஒரு பொருளை பற்றிய அறிவும் என்ன வடிவிலே மனதில் உதிக்கின்றது. Knowledge of anything rises in the form of a thought. All the thoughts are not knowledge, understand now? But knowledge is one of the forms of thoughts. Understand now? Knowledge is the form of thought. Therefore, knowledge of the reality also should be what? Understand now? Knowledge of the reality also should rise in the form of a thought only. Understand now? Therefore, knowledge of any object, rise in the form of a thought means, knowledge of the object, anything which is an object. This is kshanika, okay? Because that object goes, knowledge also goes sometimes. But knowledge of the reality, understand, once rises. It is not outside of the reality, understand? It's that knowledge alone is what? Knowledge of the reality which rises from a thought alone is paravidya. மனதில் உதிக்கின்ற பரம்பொருளை பற்றி என்ன வடிவு உதிக்கின்ற பரம்பொருளை பற்றிய அறிவு மட்டுமே பராவித்யா. Understand? Paravidya is a thought in the form of knowledge, vision. How does it happen? Which implies a lot of things, okay? That knowledge, paravidya rises. Not even rising, becoming very clear about the oneness of reality, a non-duality of reality, being very clear. That rises from a thought. It also becomes very clear. Understand? That is why, look at this, very clear. I tell you one thing. When two things come together, you say what? Joining, isn't it? Joining, or connecting, or connection, joint. One joins the other. And here, suppose the wave, look at this, wave does not know its own swarupam being H2O. Understand? Therefore, the wave does not know swarupam of the entire ocean being H2O. The wave does not know its own swarupam being H2O. The wave does not know, therefore the wave does not know the swarupam of the entire ocean being H2O. Understand? And therefore there is a distance between wave and the ocean in terms of smallness and differences. I am small, the ocean is big, I am small. In terms of differences, there is distance between wave and ocean. But once this wave understands, knows its own swarupam being H2O, the swarupam of the entire ocean being H2O becomes as well known. Understand? Then that knowing, does the wave ever become become one with the water? When was they away from H2O for the wave to become one with the H2O? Wave was never away from H2O. Wave was always H2O. As long as it did not know, as though it is away. Once it knows, as though it is becoming one. That is what is yoga. Understand now? There is not really yoga. How can it be joining? How can the wave ever join water? Look at this. Union with reality, one Lord. If you think of any physical union, okay, it will never happen in this Janma. In no Janma it will happen. There's no union with the Lord means what? There's no union. You never obey. You're always that. As long as you do not know, you are away. You are far, far, far away. Once you know, you never away. Understand now? It's not just the ignorance which distances. The distance between you and reality is the ignorance. The distance between you and the Lord is ignorance. Understand? That is why, as though becoming one. It's not really, don't become one. As though becoming one. Understand now? Is what now? So once the mind recognizes its own swarupam, and then the knowledge arises. The first, the mind studies Upanishad and understands the nature of reality. Then it also, now because of life of living of karma yoga, mind is, now to some extent, all thoughts are well managed and disciplined, all that, some, there's some purity. And mind also is steady. This focused mind, now the steady mind and focused attention of which is focused on the nature of reality, understood with the help of the teacher and shastram, then it remains absorbed, okay? It remains one. Then you see in that, you see the oneness of reality. Understand the oneness of reality. You understand reality being secondless, advitiyam, advaitam. Understand the non-duality of the reality. That vritti, akhanda akara vritti jnanam. What is that?
Akhanda.
This is why any knowledge which rises from a thought is called vritti. Say that?
Vritti.
Vritti he means enna vadivaru udikkindra arivu kenisudrathu. Vritti jnanam. Understand? Vritti jnanam means the knowledge which rises from the form of a thought is vritti jnanam. But akhanda akara vritti jnanam, when the knowledge of, when the mind discovers its own swarupam being pure awareness, there is nothing else, no thought exists outside of awareness. Understand, when you discover and you are contemplative and you ascertain this vision of this, okay, this vision of reality being pure awareness, and then, my God, this pure awareness is what? Akhandam. Indivisible, partless whole. Okay? See, knowledge of the limitless reality, understand, which is one indivisible, partless whole, is called akhanda akara. What is the akaram? What is the form of the reality? What is the form of the consciousness? What is the form? If formlessness is the form. How formless it is? How formless it is? How it is formless? Formless means what? How formless it is? Akhandam. Akhandam means what? Khandarahitam. Indivisible, divisionless. Indivisible, partless. Niravayavam. Okay? Indivisible, partless whole. Akhanda. Understand now? Akhandakaram. Vritti. Don't see. Akhanda means immediately don't go and see everywhere, all over. You don't search for it. You just understand the awareness. What awareness is all? Is understanding what the word awareness means. That is why we always say kandavar vindilar. Okay? It's not, you can't describe how awareness looks. It becomes an object. Understand now? One is indescribable is what which can, inexplicable why we say here. How awareness is. That is why Shastram helps you to understand how awareness, what awareness is. Once you know what exactly awareness is, you know how awareness is. Akhanda akara. Understand now? And you understand this way, this knowledge of the reality which is of the nature of, okay, one indivisible partless whole, which in the form of one indivisible partless whole is what? Akhanda akara vritti jnanam. That thought alone is what? Paravidya. Understand now? Is it clear? That alone is paravidya. But for the knowledge to rise, what you should have been doing? Should have been contemplative. You should have been contemplative upon the nature of the self. And to be contemplative upon the nature of the self, you should have already understood the nature of the self. Understand? To understand the nature of the self, you studied Upanishad. You must have studied Upanishad. So study Upanishad with the help of the teacher, understand the nature of the reality, thereby you will be able to contemplate upon the nature of the reality, which will result in ascertained vision of the reality, being one indivisible partless whole. The vision of the reality which you have, which you understand, is purely absolutely understanding the knowledge. Akhandakara Vritti Jnanam, that alone is Paravidya. Is it clear now? What is Paravidya? Angicha Paravidya and Sarah. Now, I'm a careful. Now, that Paravidya has to rise. Now, for which you need to be contemplative, for which you need to be mentally pure and steady. And to be able to contemplate on, we should know what is that we have to contemplate on. How can you ascertain the vision of consciousness if you do not even understand what consciousness is? How consciousness is? Where consciousness is available for recognition as consciousness. Understand now? Amazing, isn't it? That is where Shastram teaches all these steps. Why aparavidya? Why paravidya? Because, as I told you, stop. De dve vidye vetavye paracha aparachaiva apararig vedaha jiruvedaha samavedaha. All these things it is narrates. Gives a list of all these different disciplines known in Vedic period. Now you can include all the different courses offered in all the universities come under the category of aparavidya. Even the Upanishad we are studying, all the mantra we are chanting, all aparavidya only. What is paravidya? Chasta akhandakara vritti jnanam. Okay, the knowledge which rises in the thought in your mind of the reality as pure consciousness, which is the one indivisible partless whole. And okay, that's why it has to, where does it go? That vision happening is what now? The mind becoming one with its sorrupa. Understand now, its own mind, does the mind become one with its own sorupam? No. Understanding, in understanding, the mind understands another away from the sorupam. That's why I told you once in a class also. So we have every temple, Shiva temple, we have Pandiyari Puja. Every day, from morning, the temple is kept open. People keep on going and walking and coming, praying and coming back. Every day, in the evening, and when the temple has to be closed, before they close the temple, the Shiva, no? The Utsav Murthy, be taken to Devi's place. They offer sweet milk, taken to the Murthy's. Then there's a nice and a swing and all that, they'll keep it, and they'll offer sweet milk, sugar, no? And they prasad and last prasad, okay? They close the temple, come away. Why? Because the mind which is ready, pure and steady, always contemplative, the focus attention is Devi. And for such a mind, Swarupam, the Shiva, gets revealed. Shiva goes to Devi's room, okay? Devi's place. Shiva, Swarupam gets revealed to Devi. And there, where is the mind? Gone, become one with the Shiva. Devi becomes one with the Shiva. Devi is no more separate from Shiva. Understand? Not, I mean, the Devi means what? I mean, mind is never away from its Swarupam. That's all. Puja is over. They close the temple and go away. Again, they come and open the temple next day. And because that is the puja. In Sanskritam, we call it Ekanta Seva in Vishnu temples. And in Shiva's temples, always the last puja is Pallava Puja. Very amazing, very beautiful, no? The mind becoming one with Swarupam. The mind does not become one. Mind recognizing its Swarupam. If the mind has recognized its own Swarupam, the Swarupam has to be revealed to the mind. The Swarupam becomes revealed to the mind if the mind is, no, the contemplative, focused, pure, steady mind. Now, has the Swarupam revealed to itself. That is why mind does not go to Shiva. Understand? Shiva goes to Devi. Don't you think like that? Mm-hmm. You have noticed this?
Yeah.
The Utsav Murthy, Shivalinga will be there. Yeah. Utsav Murthy will be taken from Shiva temple to Devi's temple.
In Chidambaram, they take the
path. Yeah. Because just one, but the idea is, one stands for Swarupam of, when Shiva is going to the Devi means what? Shiva is the Swarupam. The Swarupam becomes revealed to the mind. That's why people say, if you put one step, Bhagavan comes one step nearer. That means what? If you make efforts. See, the mind is contemplative, pure, steady, contemplative mind, which is focused in the Swarupam of the reality, then the Swarupam becomes revealed to the mind. Okay, that is Paravidya. Understand? For that to happen, we need all this. Aparavidya. Is it clear now? We'll talk about other things later on. Doesn't matter, as we progress and progress, we find, we'll be okay. I told you about this Shakha Chandra Nyaya followed in Shastra. Do you remember that? Shakha Chandra Nyaya? Shakha branch. Chandraha the crescent moon. Shakha Chandra Nyaya. Now this is the methodology used in teaching is Shakha Chandra Nyaya. One of the methods. That means you can't suddenly, come on, see the moon, no? In monsoon time, thin line of moon, crescent moon, and then where the clouds come and hide also because the cloudy sky. Understand? And the one who has seen, very, very sharp-eyed person has seen that moon, and how to show. The other person is not struggling to see, has to make him see. Does not show. See, look at this, between the branches, can you see? No. It takes from here. Please remember that. Okay, hold my hand. Come on. Walk with me. Go to this. Walk straight. Or go straight. Keep on walking straight. How far should I be walking? Go straight. Till you come across the river. Once you see the river, what should you do? See other side of the river. Okay, Nadyaha Aparam. Nadyaha Param Pasha. Okay, you see other side of the river. Then what should you do? Then see from that side. You will see lots of huts, the other side of the thing, big hut and small hut, and the last hut, you will see four trees near the last hut, and after that, you see the tallest tree, another tallest tree, you see two branches, all the two branches, okay, you see the middle branch, and after the middle branch, in between the branch, see, can you see the crescent moon? Moonrambare Pataji. Understand? They see Akshaya Tritiya. Very auspicious. If you see that, you get a lot of punyam, a lot of money, wealth. It's very auspicious. People will long in India. They always say some Krishna stories, okay? If you see Moonrambare, and if you see this third day digit of the moon, crescent moon, in Akshaya Tritiya, in a given month, and we are going for next month. Okay, and then you will be blessed with a lot of auspiciousness and prosperity, and Lord Lakshmi will come, wealth, will make a lot of money. So people tell all this, and good health and peace at home, everything they say. So people will be very particular about seeing the Akshaya Tritiya. You can see people wandering on a particular day, Akshaya Tritiya, Munambare Patacha, Munambare Patacha, they'll be seeing. And after seeing Munambare, I had you have to say, nice, good person also. The first person you should be a good person, okay? And then you can't see somebody else who is not good. And they will say that this is a keep close and close. Yeah, so a good person is coming in front of me, I can see. So that because very difficult to see the third digit, okay? The third digit of the moon, crescent moon. Very difficult to find out. Once having found out, if it happened to see some other person who is not right person, not the rightest person, dharmika, purushaha. And again, all will go waste. Effort will go waste. So then again, sometimes they keep murtis in front of them. They see, okay, they're going to pay it into the temples also. Pray, go to the temple and pray. Now why? Because that the people found out that. They followed the Shakha Chandra Nyaya. Talk about aparavidya. Explain why aparavidya is important. How it prepares the mind. Okay, and slowly, ultimately you have to end up in what? Paravidya. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.